Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter number 17. Acts 17. As we continue to look at Paul's second journey here, as he and Silas have been run out of Philippi. We saw that last time there in Acts chapter 16, as it was found out that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, that the city of Philippi had illegally beaten them and put them in jail. And so then they decided they need to hurry up and get rid of Paul before that was found out by Rome. And so they begged him to go and basically run him off out of the city. Paul stopped by Lydia's house and spoke with the brethren there and comforted them. And then they left from Philippi here. And of course, this, again, Paul wrote the book of Philippians to this church that he has established or founded here in Philippi. And he goes from Philippi, as we read there in verse number 1, says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews." Now, we're not told about Amphipolis or Apollonia, if he preached there or if they just passed through. We're not told that. We're just simply told of their coming to Thessalonica. And there was a synagogue of the Jews there. And this, again, this was Paul's common practice, that where he had a ready audience there with the Jews, he would enter in and speak with them. They would welcome him there. They would hear what he had to say, and he would have prime opportunity there to proclaim the gospel with that ready audience already gathered together. Now, this was also the source, as we've studied so far, this was also the source of all of his troubles as well, because it would be the Jews that would get angry with him. It would be the Jews that would stir the people up, and it would be the Jews that would run him out of those towns where he had been. And it would be those Gentiles that would be so eager to hear the message that Paul would bring with him. And so he comes to Thessalonica. There is that synagogue there. And it says, verse number 2, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Now that's interesting there, that he had 3 weeks Paul was there, and each Sabbath day going to the synagogue and reasoning with them out of the Scriptures. They wanted to hear what Paul had to say. And so they would had him back 3 times to deliver to them his message. And it tells us there, verse 3, "opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ." This Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And so we see here, as Paul has come in, he has preached to them this message here, a message that was probably used to what they are used to hearing, but it was the message that brought in every place he went, and bringing this message of the cross to these folks here in Thessalonica. And so he openly declared to them, three Sabbath days here, Paul is preaching to them concerning the gospel of Christ, concerning the fact that Jesus is indeed the Christ, and that he must needs have suffered. This was an issue for the Jews. This is one of the things they did not see in the prophecies of the Scripture. They did not see that reality there of the fact that the Messiah, when he would come, would have to endure suffering in his coming. And they simply did not see that. It was something that they did not recognize, especially reading through. And the book of Isaiah is absolutely full of those things that he would suffer. The book of Psalms has many instances of those things that he would suffer and would have to suffer for us as our Savior. But these things were not something that they readily saw. They saw the things of him coming as conqueror. They saw those things of him coming as king. Those are the things they focused on. Those are the things they saw. Those are the things, quite frankly, they were looking for. They were not looking for one to come that was going to suffer and die. That's not where their focus was, their attention was focused. They were rather looking for a king to come. And so Paul declares to them in these three messages that he spends with them there, look folks, the reality is when Messiah comes, he's going to have to suffer. And in his suffering, he is going to be that sacrifice for us, die in our place, and then rise again. And so he declares these things of Christ Jesus. And of course, I love that there, verse number 3. Luke, as he is writing this down, Luke tells them, as he's writing this account for us, that this is the same message he preaches as well. He changes the pronoun there to I. When he says, verse 3 again, opening, alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And so Luke includes himself in this, of what he is preaching to them as well. And says, verse 4, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. And so there were many that believed, and that what Paul and Silas were declaring to them, and many of the Greeks, it tells us, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So there were many people that believed, but the Jews which believed not. Again, this is always the reality that we see in these cities where Paul goes, that it will most often be those Jews that have heard the message Paul has proclaimed. It'll be usually those folks that will stir up the trouble against him. And that is the case here in Thessalonica as well. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them. I love this line here as Luke describes this. Certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. You can't get a better description of some sorry cusses that they got together to come against Paul and Silas. That's what he's saying. Certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. So they find them some ruffians to stir up some trouble for Paul and Silas. And they gathered a company, it says, and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Sounds a lot like these old riots and stuff we've been having here, doesn't it? The certain lewd fellows of the baser sort that are going out stirring up trouble, trying to get their name on television or trying to get their particular grievance heard. They would go out and do similar things here, burning cities, burning towns, burning buildings, and causing trouble wherever they go. This is the same tactic here the Jews were using here in Thessalonica. And they would go to get this group together, and they assaulted Jason's house. They were apparently staying here at Jason's house, and Jason, one of the believers there in Thessalonica, and it says verse 6, and when they found them not, when they got to Jason's house and saw Paul and Silas wasn't there, it says they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, and I love this phrase here as well, This is the testimony that they left behind, and it is a wonderful testimony. It's given by the enemies of Paul and Silas and these brethren, but it is a wonderful testimony of them. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. These have turned the world upside down. They've made such an impact wherever they went. In their preaching of the gospel, in every place that they went, the Lord blessed, the Lord encouraged, the Lord strengthened, the Lord saved souls. The saints were strengthened by the work of the Lord, and it had a noticeable impact in those communities where Paul and Silas and these brethren were going. It upset folks at the changes that were taking place. And such change had come in these cities around them. Such change had come here in Thessalonica that this is the testimony that they have for them. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. It says, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. Now this has been the argument that was raised against Jesus. Pilate raised it against him in his trial, asked specifically that very question. This was a reality in the governing of these provinces that were overruled by Rome. Is it didn't matter what you believed, it didn't matter what you worshiped, as long as you made Caesar king. As long as he's king. Later on, he would not just be king, you had to say also he was God. And this would be something that would be brought upon our brethren, especially in the latter part of the first century here, into the second and even into the third century, where you would have to acknowledge not only him as Caesar as king, but you also had to acknowledge him as God and do sacrifice to him. If you refuse to call him God and refuse to do sacrifice, then you yourself would be killed and be charged with blasphemy. And many of our brethren, many of Baptist brethren throughout the years suffered that very charge, the charge of blasphemy, because they refused to call Caesar king. Because they refused, not, I shouldn't say king, refused to call him God. And so because they refused to call him God, they were charged with blasphemy and gave their lives for the service of the Lord. And so here, at this time, at this point, it's just king that they're concerned with. And they were saying there's another king. There's Jesus is their king. And so this is the same thing that Pilate raised. Remember, in the trial of the Lord, he asked him there, are you a king? Are you king of the Jews? And Jesus declared to him that his kingdom was not of this world. And he said, if my kingdom was of this world, my followers would fight. My disciples would be here fighting for my kingdom. But he said, my kingdom's not of this world at this point. It's a spiritual kingdom, he declared to him. And so here, this was the charge against them. They do things contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. So they charged them bail money. All right, y'all pay us fines and we'll let y'all go. They weren't going to hold them. They wanted Paul and Silas is who they wanted. And so they charged them bail money and turned them loose. And it says the brethren immediately upon this problem arising here in Thessalonica, Paul and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night and sent them down to Berea. And you can see there on the map, it has Baroka there, and I don't know if, honestly, I don't know if that is Berea or that's another name for Berea, just spelled differently. I would assume that's the case. I've not noticed that before until just now looking at it, but they send them on down to Berea there, and it tells us there that Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither, what did they do? They went into the synagogue of the Jews. Once again, there's a ready audience there. Paul and Silas knew in every place they went, we're going to have trouble here. They're going to get mad at us. They're going to raise a stink. There's going to be some of them that are not going to like the message that we preach, but they had that ready audience. They knew that they would be welcomed there. Being Jews themselves, they knew that when they went to the synagogue, they would give them opportunity to even speak before them. And so they would go to that ready audience, be able to go in and speak the gospel and have a crowd there that they could speak to, already gathered for them, for that work. And so they knew wherever they go, there was going to probably be trouble. But they would go to the synagogues first and proclaim the gospel of Christ there. And it says, verse number 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. The Jews here in the synagogue of Berea were more noble than the Jews in Thessalonica, because it tells us that in that they received the word. They received the word with all readiness of mind. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now that's a blessing there. These folks not only heard what Paul and Silas were declaring, they received it with gladness, and then they checked up on it. They said, oh, well, Paul says this is what has happened here. He was saying Jesus must suffer these things. He was saying that when the Messiah comes, he would have to die. He was saying that in that death, that was for the purpose of paying for our sins as the final sacrifice for us. He was saying that after 3 days he rose from the dead, and that was prophesied. And so they went to the scriptures and they searched those things out. They didn't just take Paul at his word. Wait a minute, let's look and see, is that what the Bible says? And so they went in and sought it out and looked for it, to seek out what does the Word of God say. And that is our ultimate authority. As the children of God, as Grace Baptist Church, that is the very thing that you and I are to do with the Word of God. We are to seek it out. We are to look in the scriptures. We are to look in the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about this? What does the scripture declare in this? And we need to be constantly checking that. We need to be constantly looking those things over to find out, to see what does the Bible say about this situation? What does the Bible say about this doctrine? What does the Bible say here about Christ, about the gospel, about the Word of God? What does it say about these things? We need to be like those Bereans, and we need to be looking into the Word of God, searching those scriptures daily, whether those things be so. This is exactly why Luke declares to us they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Therefore many of them, he says there in verse 12, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. So, The people of Berea didn't cause them that much trouble. It was the people of the Jews of Thessalonica. They came down. They searched them out. Well, Paul and Silas were here. Where did they go to? Well, I saw Paul and Silas going out of town. They were heading down toward Berea. And so they followed them down to Berea to stir up trouble there in Berea. And so they followed them down and stirred up trouble there for them, got the people stirred up there to bring problems there for them. It says, when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And so Silas and Timothy would stay there in Berea. Paul would continue on in his journey, and he would go down into Athens. And we see that as he would go by sea there and sail down the Aegean from Berea there into the city of Athens. And it is here in the city of Athens that the rest of this chapter would take place. It says, verse 15, "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed." And so Paul gets down to Athens. He sends word back to Silas and Timothy for them to come down to him to Athens. And they departed and came on down following Paul into the city. And while Paul is waiting for them, this event here that takes place on Mars Hill, that we are taught much doctrine here concerning who God is and what He has accomplished and what He has created in us. We get some understanding about the religion of the Greeks here, and this religion, this philosophy of the Greeks will also follow many of the Romans. They essentially worship, they worship the same gods with different names. They simply rename them. By the way, it's the same gods the Babylonians worship. It's the same gods that the Egyptians worship. It's the same gods the Chinese worship. It's the same gods that the Mayans and the Aztecs that they worshiped, the Native Americans, they worship the same exact gods. They simply had different names. These all came forth from Babylon, from Nimrod's empire, as they were scattered by God in Genesis chapter 11. The religion of Nimrod was scattered across the world, and they carried that same religion with them. Again, these gods had different names in each of the cultures, but you read the stories about who the gods were and the things that the gods did and the powers that the gods supposedly had. They were the exact same things told across cultures, across nations, across languages. They told the exact same stories. They told the exact same things about these gods. These gods had the same attributes, if you will, the same supposed powers of these false gods that these nations worship. And so we see a little bit here in chapter 17 about the religion or the philosophies here specifically of the Greeks, and these would carry over into Rome as well, these two particular philosophies. And these philosophies would cause God's people a great deal of trouble as time would go on. Or, for that matter, bring them some peace. There was the argument here between the Epicureans and the Stoics. And the Stoics, they didn't put up with they would not allow anybody to stand against their gods. And they took it very serious. They considered it blasphemy to say anything against their gods or to stand in any way against their gods. And so they were very harsh on God's people. The Epicureans, they were more let it be kind of folks, and that was their philosophy. And we'll get into this more on Sunday afternoon as we look to this particular portion of it. But they were more lenient on the beliefs of others around them, and when you get into the Roman Empire, some of those emperors that practiced one particular practice, Epicureanism, and that was the only period of peace that God's people had in early Rome. The Stoics, however, on the other hand, would punish severely God's people and would put many to death for that very charge of blasphemy. And so this is where we kind of encounter this in the Scripture. And Paul hears their philosophies. He hears their arguments one with another as they're debating which philosophy is best. And he declares to them, takes that very issue of what they are declaring and declares to them Jesus and the gospel to them here on Mars Hill. Wonderful passage of Scripture. But we'll hold off there at verse number 15 as Paul is come into Athens and awaiting Timothy and Silas to come to him there that they might help partake in this continued work, this second missionary journey. You'll notice that they, on the map there, they'll go over to Corinth and Centria, and then they'll start their journey back from this point. And of course, the church at Thessalonica, Paul would write two books or two letters to them that we have in the Scripture. Corinth there, he would write three, and possibly three to Thessalonica too. He would write three letters to the church at Corinth, and two that we have record of. We don't have the other letter that Paul wrote to them, but he tells us in the Scriptures that he wrote that other letter to them. And so these are, as you're going along and seeing these churches established in these different areas that Paul and Silas are coming to, as these people are saved, these churches are established in these locations, we see then the letters later on as Paul is writing back to them, teaching them. He's, in the case of Corinth, he's straightening them out. But he's, well, for most of them, in fact, something has come up, but he's writing a letter back to them to help them, to strengthen them, to encourage them. For the Thessalonians, they thought they had missed the coming of the Lord. And so Paul is writing these two letters to them there in Thessalonica that they had not missed the Lord. We don't have a letter to the Bereans. That's one that I'm sure Paul probably wrote one to them, but we don't have that letter saved for us in the Scripture. But we do have those written to Thessalonica. We have those written to Corinth. We have those written to the Philippians. We have those that which was written to Galatians, the churches in Galatia. Of course, the one in Colossae too that has not come to yet. Those, all of these churches that Paul would write these letters to, encouraging and strengthening these very churches that he's establishing on these missionary journeys as he would go in from place to place, from town to town, and every place declaring the gospel of Christ, and souls being saved, and churches established in all of these areas as Paul would continue in his journey. But we'll hold off here, and we'll pick up with verse number 15 again on Sunday and finish out that passage of Scripture, see what takes place there on Mars Hill with Paul and the Epicureans and the Stoics. All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight.